some years ago in the very heart of Africa, in the jungles there, a traveler was making a long journey. And he had a number of these natives there to assist him carrying in the loads, which was the custom in those days. And the first day, they marched rapidly and they went very far, much further than they had anticipated that they would go. But then, on the second morning, these jungle tribesmen refused to move. For some strange reason, they just sat there and rested. And when asked about the reason for this behavior, the traveler was informed that they had gone too fast the first day, and that they were now waiting for their souls to catch up with their bodies. Well, there are times when our lives move so fast that we need to slow down and let our souls catch up with us. Not literally, of course, but figuratively. We are emotionally drained, we're mentally stressed out, and we need to spend time with our Heavenly Father, like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at just that one verse here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Notice, first of all, the priority there. And in the morning. We begin in the morning. This is what Jesus did first. My God, what do you do the first thing in the morning? Do you read your newspaper first? Do you turn on the television to see the latest news? Do you eat a big breakfast? Do you get your children ready for school? Your husband's ready for work, or get yourself ready for work. But what is it that we do the first thing in the morning? And so here we see our Lord's priority as we look at the rest of the verse. But the priority that is there. And if you look at the book of Psalms, King David said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Psalm 5 and verse 3. So Jesus says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." There is the priority. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." And in Psalm 88 and verse 13, not written by David, it was written by another psalm writer, but he says, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord. And in the morning shall my prayer present or come before thee." In the morning shall my prayer come before thee. Again, there is this priority. First thing in the day, my prayer will rise up to God. So as we look at that verse here and consider the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see then first of all the priority in the morning. But then it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. So we see secondly in this passage the period, rising up a great while before day. Now a great while before day, it would obviously still be dark. Now I don't know about you, but my body clock is such that I wake up when it gets light. Alright. So in winter, I sleep later than I sleep in summer. And I'm affected, you know, whether it's daylight savings time or not. You know, if it's daylight savings time, it gets light at 5 o'clock, I wake up at 5 o'clock. You know, our bodies, you know, I don't know about here, but that's what my body fog does. I can remember my first job, not counting when I delivered newspapers for a friend of mine, and he was going on holiday, and he needed somebody to help him out, and said, okay, I'll help you out. But my first job at age 13 was working in a vegetable and fruit farm. And some of the things that I can remember growing there were beans and carrots and cucumbers and tomatoes and strawberries and peaches. And one of the jobs that I had to do was picking strawberries. That's back-breaking work on your knees, you know, unless they grow them on higher off the ground, you know, and tables. But, you know, it was all in the ground. Well, I can remember wearing out my knee pads on the picking the strawberries. But work started at 5 o'clock in the morning. We had to start early because the boss, you know, probably had about 8-10 people working for him, and he needed to get the fresh produce to the market, by boat, of course, being in Holland. And so we had to start very, very early. And, you know, it wasn't easy to go out a little bit after 4:30 in the morning. And, well, my mom used to get me up at that time because it was still dark. So she would set the alarm clock, she'd come and wake me up, and she'd make me breakfast, and she'd go back to bed. And I can't blame her. And then I would leave the house, ride my bicycle, when it was still dark, to the place of work. And I'll tell you, it wasn't easy getting up at a little bit after 4 o'clock in the morning. But I had to get up early to go to work. It was still dark. Well, I did it because it was my job. And I liked the money that I got for it in those days. 40 cents an hour in those days. I can remember that. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ got up early in the morning. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. In other words, he got up, but it was still dark. And we'll find out in a little while, well, you probably know already, but we'll find out in a little while he got up so early. But I want you to notice a couple more verses there in the Old Testament. In Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Early. And then in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Early. So the psalmist says, early will I seek thee. And in Proverbs, the Lord says, those that seek me early shall find me. I see the word early there in two ways. Early in the day, and secondly, I see it as early in life. So not wait till you are 70 or 80, and then say, now I will seek the Lord. No, seek him early in life, but seek him also early in the day. Lester Roloff, you may never have heard of him, but when I was doing my studies, his name was regularly in the news. He was a fundamental independent Baptist preacher in America. He was born in 1914 and died in 1982. But he had his ministry of preaching, but also he had a ministry of starting homes for teenage boys. Quite an effective ministry, and the government sometimes didn't like what he was doing because he was preaching the Word of God to them. And so he was in the news quite regularly. I never heard him speak life, but I read a lot about him. But he made this comment. He says, what you do before sun up determines whether you have victory before sundown. What you do before sun up determines whether you have victory before sundown. So we also emphasize that get up early and spend time with God. And so this is what Jesus did. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. So there's a place, a solitary place. He departed into a solitary place. Now, if you put this verse here within the context, you see that, well, we started reading in verse 21, but if I go to verse 29, we read that Jesus enters into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, the house of Simon, that would be Simon Peter, and we're told that Simon's wife's mother was sick of a fever, and he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up. The fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And then in the evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with demons. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and had cast out many demons, and suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him. So we see the Lord Jesus is very busy. There's a large crowd of people there. But what he needed was a solitary place, a deserted place, a quiet place. He could find no solitude and silence in Peter's crowded house. And so he said, I need to get away. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, before he actually gives the Lord's Prayer, he talks first of all about almsgiving in that passage, and then he talks in general about prayer, before he gives the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew 6:6, Jesus says this, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now Jesus brings this out in contrast to the prayers of the Pharisees. For he said they love to pray standing on the corners of the streets in order to be seen by men. He said, don't be like them. But you, when you pray, go into your closet. Well, we think of a closet as something that you have that you can store things. In most cases, it'd be hard to get inside that closet. But the idea there is, Jesus says, get up by yourself, alone. And we all need a closet, a place where we can be alone with God. Now this may be difficult, but we should make an effort. And, you know, sometimes, it's hard. You know, you have young children at home. How can I find time to be alone with God? My children are there, they wake up. They're always crying, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know, and there may be other disturbances. A telephone may ring, and, I find I get most of my work done early in the morning before the telephone starts ringing. You know, so that's the way I work. But, what do? You may have to get up earlier than everybody else or anybody else in the house. So you get up early. Everybody else is still asleep, and you have an opportunity to be in a solitary place. Or, maybe you're a night owl. You do it after everybody else has gone to bed. You know, your husband or your wife is asleep, and your children are finally quiet for a little while anyway. You may have some time where you can be alone. Or, you'll realize you have to leave the house for that, but maybe find a park bench somewhere quiet. I've done that on a number of occasions. Go down to the Canning River or the Swan River, and there's a lot of benches there. You sit down on the bench, take your Bible along, and you can sit there and read. Or, for that matter, you could even go to some of the shopping centers. There may be food courts, you know, and especially early in the morning, there's hardly anybody there. It can be a very quiet place where you can be alone with God. But find a place, because we all need a closet, a place where we can be alone with God. Jesus, well, he couldn't find a place to be alone with God in Peter's house, so he went out a great while before day. He departed into a solid place. And then we see the practice, what he did. And there he prayed. And there prayed. You know, the Bible is not one just because we get up early and we get out there into a quiet place. It's actually at that point only just beginning. Prayer has been described as a battlefield. It's a constant struggle against Satan, because he does not want us to spend time in prayer. As I was preparing for this message, I came across a very interesting quote attributed to Satan. Now, it's not in the Bible, so it's not something that he actually said. But according to this quote, Satan said, "Blessed is he who has no time to pray, for he will become an easy prey." And how true that is. I think you realize pray is spelled different ways. But how true. Blessed is he who has no time to pray, for he will become an easy prey, said Satan. So we need to spend time. And it's a struggle. It's a battle. You know, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, this is in Luke chapter 22. And, you know, we're coming to that time of the year now, with the first Sunday in next month, April, being Palm Sunday. You know, but as you think about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. "And he, Jesus, came out and went, as he was wont, as his custom was, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." I think that's enough to read here. But you know, notice verse 44, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as were, a great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Prayer is not easy. It's a battle, a constant battle with Satan, as we remember our Lord's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so the Lord Jesus Christ spent time early in the day with his heavenly Father. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, the Bible indicates that he prayed before major events in his life. For instance, it very clearly states that before he selected his 12 disciples, he prayed. before going out to preach. That's what we see here in Psalm in Mark chapter 1. You know, he prays and then he goes out and says, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. So before going out to preach, he prayed. And then, of course, when we read the passage there in Luke, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. And remember, right after that, he was arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Brought to trial and crucified. But before the major event in his life, Jesus prayed. Now what an example that is for us. Because as believers, we have the same Heavenly Father. And we should also spend time with him. And I say every day. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more should we pray? And I've given you in the insert a little acrostic. You know, sometimes when we say about prayer, oh yeah, remember the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. The four areas for prayer. But consider also the acrostic PRAY. P-R-A-Y. Pray. Begin by praising the Lord. Praise. When we pray, don't forget to praise God. Prayer is not just a shopping list. Dear God, I want this and this and that. It's not a shopping list. But spend time in praising the Lord. If you're looking for a parking space, the Lord provides one. Say praise the Lord. Whatever it is, there's so many things throughout the day. Praise the Lord. And when you pray, praise the Lord. And then the R, repent of your sins. Confess your sins to God. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. But then we should also repent and say, I don't want to do this anymore. The very idea of repentance is a turning around. You're going one direction, you realize it's the wrong direction, you make a 180 degree turn, and you turn the exact opposite. That's repentance. I don't want to go that way, I want to go the opposite direction. So, praise the Lord. Repent of your sins. And then, the A, ask. Ask for yourself. Ask for others. A lot of people stop with asking for themselves. But we should also ask for others. John R. Rice has written a book entitled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. It's an excellent book on prayer. But he says prayer is asking and receiving. But if you don't ask, you don't receive. You ask and receive not. Alright? James talks about that. I'm not going to talk about that now. But ask. Ask for yourself. Ask for others. For yourself. Help, strength, wisdom, a close walk with God. All these things that help us in our relationship with Him. Pray for others. If you know somebody is sick, pray for that person. If you know somebody has an exam coming up, one of the young people, pray for them. If you know somebody is looking for a job, pray for them. If you know somebody is traveling, pray for them. You know, all these things. You say that's just a little thing. Well, they may be little things, but we should still pray for them. Pray one for another. P-R-A-Y. Why? Yield yourself to God's will. when we read the account there in Luke chapter 22, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He yielded his life to the Father. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's the way it should be with us. Not my will, but God's will. What is God's will for our life? And we should say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Not I, but Christ." As Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Not I, but Christ. Yield yourself fully to him. Not your will, not my will, but God's will be done. And so we see Jesus going up in the morning, rising up a great while before day. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. May his example be example for us to follow, that we as individuals may daily spend time with our Heavenly Father. You may call it quiet time. You may call it personal devotion. I'm not so much concerned with what you call it as that you do it. Spend time with God daily. Pray. Pray the Lord. Repent of your sins. Ask for yourself and others. And yield yourself to God's will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who rose up a great while before day, went into a solitary place, and there prayed. Lord, may we also find time daily to spend with thee. Pray, repenting of our sins, asking and yielding ourselves to thy will. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.